Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
And then into chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Well, a very good evening, everybody. It's nice to see you. Now, if you've been dragged on in here kicking and screaming, we wish you well. And can we say a very happy Christmas to you? In 1970, there was a television programme, and you may remember it. It was the sort of forerunner to Michael Parkinson. And the host and the person who interviewed people in those days was a man called Russell Harty. On one occasion, he brought two very, very well-known people to be interviewed. The first one was Dr. Billy Graham, the evangelist from the United States, from Charlotte, who went to heaven on the 21st of February this year. The second person was David Essex, the rock superstar. And the connection was very simple. Essex had got the lead role in Jesus Christ Superstar, and Billy Graham had given his life to preaching about Jesus Christ. So Russell Harty turned to David Essex and said, "What is your opinion and your thoughts towards this person of history, Jesus Christ?" Russell Harty said, "Well, he's a great man, a good man, probably better than that." And then he turned to Dr. Billy Graham. And Billy Graham said, Russell, he said, "I want to start by asking you a question. If Jesus Christ came to this studio now, what would happen?" And Russell Harty said, "Well, we'd probably stand up, applaud. He'd take his seat and I'd start the interview." And Billy Graham said, "If Jesus Christ was to enter this room now, we wouldn't stand up and applaud. We would all bow in adoration." Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, a person entered this world and he was God in a skin. He towers above humanity. This is a document that looks rather boring. They usually do when they're historic. And this is the history of England. Does anybody in this room not believe that Henry VIII was one of our kings? Well, he's on there. Going further back in time, how about the Norman, William I, William II, and then the Saxons and the Vikings, Egbert and Alfred and Ethelred, they're all on there. The Dark Ages are on there. And then you come to the Roman times, and there's a man there with the initials JC, Julius Caesar. Does anybody not believe that he's turned up? Have you met him? But just before that, you've got AD and BC, Augustus Domini and before Christ. The whole of our history is built on the life of Jesus Christ. He's not a fable. And it was Tacitus who said, "Christus, the founder of the name, was put to death by Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea in the reign of Tiberius." Ladies and gentlemen, it's not the history department that believe in a Christ myth, said Josh McDowell. But the question is, who is this man? What did he come to do? What is his message? Can he give hope for the world? Was he telling us the truth? When he was to be born, they said, "Call his name Jesus." And then, ladies and gentlemen, as you analyse his life, at the age of 12, the scholars were taken by his great intellect and insight, and they said, "Where did this boy at 12 get such learning?" Jesus himself, speaking about his life's work, he said, "I have not come down to do my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me." Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, the power that he showed and demonstrated. On one occasion, he was fast asleep in a boat in a raging sea. The disciples who knew the wind and knew the waves knew they were in trouble. They woke him and said, "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus stood up and he turned to the wind and the waves and he said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. Then men said, "What sort of a man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Ladies and gentlemen, somebody very special was coming and living on planet Earth. And then the lepers who'd never touch anybody and nobody would touch them came to Jesus and said, "If you're willing, you could make us clean. And Jesus touched the lepers and he said, I am willing, be clean. What power? You see, somebody remarkable was on the planet. Not only did he have a power over the elements and the power over sickness, he had power over death. On three occasions he raised people from the dead. He went to the room of a sick little girl. She'd passed away. And with his parents there, he said, little girl, I say to you, get up. What power? This was God on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you tonight to consider, outside of a tomb of a friend, Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come out. I am the resurrection and the life. And anybody who believes in me, though they be dead, yet shall live. What a staggering claim. I've got power over death. And you think of the greats who've walked this world, whether it's Churchill, he's been beaten by death, whether it's any Roman governor, beaten by death, any great emperor, any great president, beaten by death, any great superstar, sports star, rock star, beaten by death. And yet Jesus stands up, this colossus. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm going to beat death. And then the spirit world would come to him. And when the spirit world show up, you know something's happening. We know you are Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Have you come before our time to persecute us? They understood who Jesus was, Son of the Most High God. And then when he went to his trial, they tried to blame him. And Pilate's wife said, I've nothing to do with this innocent man. Pilate said, he's nothing worthy of death. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God was on planet Earth. And Jesus himself claimed, I and the Father are one. Anybody who has seen me has seen the Father also. Why did he come? Well, he came, ladies and gentlemen, because we need him. He knows in eternity what takes place. And we know on planet Earth that there is something called justice. Does anybody believe here that flying two planes in the Twin Towers in the USA is an act of good? Or David Hamilton shooting a school up in Scotland, children, is an act of good or evil? Or a Manchester concert where they put a bomb? We all know it is wrong. And we all know that wrong is wrong. Apply it to the world of sport. You know? If somebody, I don't know, kick somebody up in the air and the other team claim a foul and the referee says, play on. You don't have a match, you have a riot. Even the referees know they've got to be absolutely central and neutral. And in our lives we know that too. And God said, as I look upon this world I've made, that's walked out on me, the soul that sins, it will surely die. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the reason why around Leicester, sadly, you have graveyards and mortuaries, and we have them in Merseyside. Because the souls that sin, they shall surely die. But Jesus came to love you, to die for you, to lay down his life and say, I will take the death. Do you realise when he came? He didn't come to say, behave yourself. I trust we do. He didn't come and say, believe in me. The devil believes in God. He didn't come and say, get baptized or have a ceremony. He came to lay down his life and he said, repent and be born twice. Repent and receive him. And ladies and gentlemen, the confusion that's in our country and the fog that lays across it through the media and religious people who confuse us. And Jesus said, repent. Think not that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I've come to bring a sword. I'm going to divide mankind. I'm going to divide womankind. And those who make it to heaven get there, not because of their own effort, but because they trust in Jesus Christ, who hung on a Roman cross to forgive them. What is a Christian? Just like we've heard tonight, a man from a different culture, a different world. Now he appreciates up the road, it's called Wolverhampton. Yeah? But here's the point. From all over the world, people are coming to Jesus Christ. And that's what a Christian is. They've come as they are and said, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I can't make it to heaven. I can't be accepted in your sight. But I'm willing to be forgiven and cleansed and washed whiter than snow. And the simple question then is, if he came, will you trust him? He says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, I will give you rest. He says, to those who receive him, he'll give the power to become a child of God. He says, you'll be born again. It's a spiritual work. It'll be an operation of God on your life. And he'll forgive you and cleanse you, and you'll walk into heaven. My mother is 94. She's from Ireland. She's had 12 children and she's 5 foot tall. And I'm the ninth. And when I leave my mother, knowing that she's on the last days, I say, Mummy, when Jesus says to you, why shall I let you into heaven? What are you going to tell him? And in an Irish voice, she says these words, I've come to believe you died for me on the cross and have asked you to forgive me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. If you get a religion, I wish you well. But we're not interested in religion. We're interested in life. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. As he lay in that Bethlehem manger, he also lay in a boat, and he also lay in a tomb. But before the tomb, he lay on a cross. He laid on a cross. And God took my sin. He took your sin. The things we've done, big and small, secret and public, and he laid them all on his son. And Jesus, in the agony of the cross and in the darkness, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's shedding his blood so you might be let off. Now do your soul a massive favour and think about it. And come as a child and say, God, I would like you to forgive me, to cleanse me and be my saviour. Way back in the 1970s, I think it was, I remember watching as a young lad the story of Entebbe Airport. And you may remember that the terrorists had captured a lot of Jews on a plane. And it was flown from Germany to Uganda. And it was parked on the airstrip at Entebbe. Everybody was left, taken off the plane, and all the Jewish people were in one particular room. And the Jewish forces and government got word. And the terrorists had let all, if you like, the Gentiles go. And they said, we're going to kill these Jews unless these prisoners in the Middle East are let out of jail. Well, I'll tell you an interesting fact. The airport was built by the Jews. So they found the architect. And they said, tell us about the airport, tell us about the room. And he said, these are the rooms, these are how big they are, and these are the doorways. So they knew exactly what to do. And the Jews flew their aeroplanes past four or five countries who were hostile towards him, less than 1 mile from the floor, in the night, with no lights on. And they landed on the airport strip, and they made it in. And they had a plan, and the plan was brilliant and simple. They were going to storm each room, and the room where all the Jews were, they chose to go in the night for two reasons. One, they wouldn't be seen, and two, most of them would be fast asleep. So they'd be lying down. And at 1 or 2 in the morning, they stormed in. And before they shot one bullet, they shouted in Hebrew, hit the floor. And everybody who knew the Hebrew language would hit the floor, and then they sprayed all the bullets at less than 5 foot in the air. So anybody left standing would be shot. Do you know what? In 60 minutes from landing on the airstrip, they'd done a fantastic job, killed the attackers and the terrorists, and they rescued every one except for one man. And they said, we do not know to this day why he never responded and hit the floor when he had it in his own language. And he lost his life. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the word of God. What are you going to do? Jesus says, repent and receive me. Rest on me. And the Son of God who loved you, who hung on a cross publicly, will forgive you and cleanse you. You will enter heaven. There'll be a sign in heaven saying, welcome. Isn't that amazing? Now, in this room, there are people from all over the world. And Jesus is saying, come. Because in heaven, every tribe, every tongue, those are people praising God for all of eternity. As we finish tonight and sing our final carol, can I just say thank you once again to the church for inviting me to come. May God bless you and have a wonderful Christmas time. And we're going to sing in a moment, See Amid the Winter Snow. But can I just say that at the back, not only will there be refreshments on the right-hand side through the hatch there, but there's this colourful book called Are You Ready for Christmas? It's free, and it tells you the Christmas story again. And then, for those who are very interested in being a Christian, Journey into Life, taking that simple step to trust Jesus as your own Lord and Saviour. And, ladies and gentlemen, there are many people who think about it. You don't get into heaven thinking about it. You get into heaven doing something about it. Repent and receiving Christ. So that little booklet, the blue one, is designed to tell you how you can receive him tonight. Take it home, read it, and ask the risen Jesus to give you his peace and life. May God bless you. Amen.